Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
I want you just to take just a second. I want you to look around the room. I want you to do this. I know you're going to make some weird eye contact with people you don't know, and that's fine. And you're going to make weird eye contact with people you do know, and that may even be even worse. But only God could have put this room of people together. Only God could have done this. There is no way in the world that you would be sitting next to her, sitting next to him, sitting next to her, next to him in this room, had it not been for the Lord who was on your side. Right? I am glad to know that Jesus Christ is my Lord, that Jesus is my Savior. He is my King. He is my Deliverer. He is my Healer. He is my Waymaker, always making a way for me, even when I don't even know the path. I don't even know that I'm on a path. He's somehow making a way for me. God's going to do something good in here today, and I know it. I know it because I know Him, and wherever He is, there's goodness. Guys, Pastor Michael is gone, of course, over the last couple of weeks, and most of y'all know where he's been, but right now he is in Germany. He's coming back this week, and for those of y'all that don't know why he went to Germany, it was the 500th anniversary of the Protestant, what initiated the Protestant Reformation. That's when Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses on the door of the church there in what is now known Germany. And he really set off a firestorm of events that now we sit in a denominational church because of what he did. The revelation that Martin Luther had is something we're going to talk about a little bit today, but we're going to kind of jump in the same vein that Pastor Michael was on about the body. And Pastor Andrew jumped in last week with Zacchaeus. How many of y'all were blessed by Pastor Andrew's message? It was great. Talked about our motivations for our faith. It's really, really good. I want y'all, if you would, with me, I'm not going to be long because we've got to be at the parade. And if you're not there at 1 o'clock, Kim said you're not getting to march. That's what Andrew said earlier. So we all have to be there on time because they said they'll give our time, our card away, and I'm going to be mad. Right? So anyway, if you guys would, please be there at 1 o'clock today. Ephesians chapter 2. Turn with me, Ephesians chapter 2. While you are turning there, I want to remind you of something. It's Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing unto God, for this is your spiritual worship," or "for this is your reasonable service." It's interesting to note, Pastor Michael's done a masterful job of this, where he has taught us that our spirit is connected to our soul that is connected to our body. Right? This is not a Dr. Phil idea, although Dr. Phil even backs this up. I love Dr. Phil. I'm dead serious. I think Dr. Phil is doing a lot of good things. But Dr. Phil did not come up with the idea of spirit, soul, and body. In fact, it's something there even in Romans. Did you see it? In Romans chapter 12, I'll read it to you. You're still in Ephesians. But it says, "By the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship." There's a correlation between your spirit, your soul, and your body. All right, here we go. Ephesians chapter 2. Are you there? Somebody said you're not all here because you're not all there. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, "For by grace you are saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is God's gift, not from works, so that nobody can boast about it. For we are His creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them." That's so good, I want to read it again. "For by grace you are saved through faith." Somebody shout, faith. "And this is not from yourselves, it is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast, for we are his creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. How many of you all know that before you were, God had a plan for your life? Before the foundations of the world, God had you in mind, and therefore there was some plan for your life that he had even before you took your first breath. In Jeremiah, it says, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. 1 John chapter 4 says, because he first loved us, we love him. He initiated this whole thing. It was nothing that we did. We get faith because Ephesians says it is a gift from God. And because he gave us this gift, we opened it up to the awareness of the consciousness of our heart, the consciousness of our mind, just like it says that the eyes of your heart be enlightened in Ephesians chapter 1. We open this box, this gift of faith up that makes us consciously aware of his goodness and of his presence because he has given us the gift of faith. It's kind of like this example of having a little baby, a newborn baby. How many of you all love babies? Oh, it's the sweetest thing. Isn't it? There's nothing like a newborn baby that is hungry. Oh, the joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's nothing quite like a dirty diaper, right, at 3 a.m. Why does the stomach virus always hit at 3 a.m? And why does your child always come to your bedroom to tell you about it? Y'all know what happens. They know where to go. But they come to your bedroom floor. Oh, the joy unspeakable and full of glory. Faith is kind of like having a little baby. That little baby, and even as a newborn, that baby does not really know who you are, per se. Doesn't know, it has to have no cognitive understanding that you are its mother or its father or you're the baby's aunt or uncle. But there's something in that baby that tells it that you're there. So they are aware of your presence even though they don't know who you are. It's kind of like faith. It's kind of like faith. Faith is like that a little bit. We are aware of this God even though we really don't know him yet. And as the baby grows, it becomes more and more aware of our presence in meaningful ways. I said it like this in the first service. The older I get, and I almost hate even saying this with him in the room. But the older I get, the smarter my dad gets, man. Right? The older I get, the smarter my dad gets. So listen up, McKenna. Right? But it's really where we as we start to grow as adults, we start to understand that our mom and dads were doing things for us we weren't even aware of. They were doing far more than changing diapers and providing meals. They were protecting us from a situation we didn't need to be in. We didn't even know we were headed towards. There were the awareness of as we grow older, we start to realize just how dependent we were on our parents' help or grandparents' help. Whoever raised you, you know what I'm saying? There is an awareness that comes as the older we get. We become more aware of the parents' presence in meaningful ways. So we are to him. As faith is interjected into our hearts and lives and minds, it is a seed that grows, and that grows, it produces a greater awareness of him. But where it's different between us and babies, you guys know this, is we want our babies to grow to be independent. Get out of the house. Get a J-O-B. Go to school, right? Go to college. Get a good job in the city, right? and then help buy me a new house when you get rich. Well, I told you to help me on the organ. You weren't even there. That was the moment right there. We want our kids to grow and to become independent. But the thing of faith, the seed of faith, is exactly the opposite. In fact, it grows and grows and grows, and we become more and more aware of our dependence on God. The older the saint is, the more that they will tell you how much they rely on God for everything. My grandmother was like that. I didn't know how in the world she lived to be so holy and so good and all that. She goes, oh, baby, you don't, no. And they'll all tell you the same thing. It's all with a humble heart and a broken spirit, and they say, no, God's been good to me. He's been better to me than I've been to myself. I don't deserve it. I am nothing, honey. I never did nothing. You're like, but Granny, my gosh. You can almost see that you have a halo. You know, it's because the seed of faith produces a greater awareness of our need for Him as we get older. So we're here today talking about faith, and we all have some measure of it. And the measure that we have has been given to us by God. It is a gift from the Lord. What makes us aware of our continued dependence on Him? It's our faith. And it's given to us to draw us towards Him. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Our faith invites a response. Our faith invites a response which begs the question then, how do we respond? Faith is fleshed out in our behavior and our actions. There's a lot of implications there. Our faith is fleshed out by how we behave, by how we act, by how we treat each other, by what we say. The gateway of our faith deposited in our spirit, the gateway from our faith into the known world, is this body. Our bodies become the gateway of our faith in our hearts to reach the world. Kind of cool, isn't it? You think that this is a bridge to get our faith, that which has been deposited in us, to someone else, to reach out to the lost, the hurting, the dying, the discouraged. The gateway is our bodies. And the truth of the matter is, and I told the first service this, and you may have already seen it on Facebook, this is a tweetable deal. This is tweetable. You will behave how you believe. Well, right? You will behave how you believe. Your behavior is linked to how you think. You will behave how you believe. Your behavior is linked to how you think. Remember, Romans 12, 1 says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this age, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good and pleasing and perfect will of God. You want to change how you act? Change how you think. Right? You want to change how you act? Change the way you think. And how do you change the way you think? John 8, 31 says, Jesus says to the Jews that had believed him, if you continue, somebody say continue. If you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth shall, hallelujah. It will set you free from doubt. It will set you free from worry. It will set you free from always feeling like you never measure up. It will set you free from anxiety, insecurity. It will set you free from the penalties of sin and death. It will set you free. I got a confession to make, y'all. Don't worry. Don't get too nervous, Tiffany. I get beat up in my thought life sometimes. There are times in my mind where I'm absolutely just getting my brains kicked in by the devil. I'm thinking weird thoughts. I'm thinking terrible thoughts. I'm being depressed. I'm feeling like I'm not worth anything. There's times where I feel like that standing up on this stage and leading you people in worship is meaningless. I'm not trying to get pity. I'm just telling you. Because I want you to understand that this stage is not some immunity barrier from the devil. Right? Pastor Michael's headset microphone is not an immunity barrier for the attack of the enemy. That's why we got to pray for our pastor and pray for his family and pray for those that deliver the word of God, because the enemy wants to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He doesn't care if you're a preacher. He doesn't care if you're a CEO, a banker, a telephone maker. He doesn't care what you are. He comes after you to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And there are moments in my life where I am getting pummeled in my mind saying I'm not good enough, not smart enough, I don't have enough this, I don't have enough that, I don't have enough friends, I don't have my family, my da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And it just drives me crazy. That's my confession. There are moments where it's just, man, it's almost unbearable. And I know when I get like that because no one wants to be around me. And the truth of the matter is, I don't want to be around me either. But I'm all I got, and we just gonna have to make it. Right? There are moments where I just don't know what to do. But then there's something on the inside that begins to happen. And I want to begin to behave and act rightly. I want to do the right thing. I want to live the right way. I want to live according to the word. I want to please the Lord. And sometimes even that reality makes me mad. God, why won't you just leave me alone and let me do X, Y, Z and not feel bad about it tomorrow? I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Maybe that's just me. Maybe no one else gets mad at being convicted sometimes. I want to tell the guy on Facebook off, but I don't. I can't. I can't. I want to, man, because he's an idiot, right? Right? I want to tell him that so bad, but gosh, don't do it. I can't. And then I feel convicted because I wanted to. How many of y'all want to behave rightly? Let me see your hand. How many of you want to act right, to do the right thing? Well, it's really simple, right? Oh, please tell us. Because up to this point, it has not been as simple as we had hoped. How do you behave rightly? How do you act righteously? Romans 1:17 says, "The righteous shall live by faith." The righteous shall live by faith. Let's explore this further. You still in Ephesians chapter 2? Good for you. I want to back up and start. Verse 1. Now I'm watching the time because I want to make sure we're there at Trover Clinic, 1 o'clock. I don't care how long Sonic takes to get your corn dog, you be there at the Trover Clinic at 1. Because Kim said so. Ephesians 2. Verse 1. We want to behave rightly. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. And everybody said amen. Amen. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously walked according to this worldly age, according to the ruler of the atmospheric domain, the spirit now working in the disobedient. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts. And by nature we were children under wrath, as the others were also. But God. But God. We were all tangled up. We were all messed up. fulfilling the lusts of the flesh and doing all of these things that were just terrible. And we were lined up with those that are disobedient, even those that are still disobedient to this day, but God. There is no way you should be sitting in this room today, but God. But I used to do this and I used to do, but God. Right? How many of y'all could say, you can look back and say, you know, I used to be an alcoholic, but God. I used to be a drug addict, but God. My marriage was falling apart and I thought my life was over, but God. My kids look like they didn't even believe in the Lord anymore. It looked like all hope was lost, but God. Right? How many of y'all can say that over your life? You can look back to a half a dozen or a dozen times, but God. That should have got me, but God. Let's go on. I got to hurry. But God, who is abundant in mercy. Whew, thank you, Jesus. He is abundant in mercy because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with the Messiah, even though we were dead in our trespasses. By grace, you are saved. He also raised us up with him, and watch this, and he seated us with him in the heavens, in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So even though we were dead in our sin, dead in our trespasses, by grace we are saved, and he has seated us with Jesus. Not a bad view. What does it mean? A couple of things happens when a king sits on his throne. His kingship is not in question when he sits on his throne. I used to watch wrestling when I was a kid, back when it was real. That's right. That's right. That's right. I mean, and I am ecstatic. I mean, I am actually, like, in a funny way excited about the fact that ESPN is doing a 30 for 30 on Ric Flair. And it comes out this Tuesday. So don't call me on Tuesday night. Like, after band practice and all that, I don't. The nature boy, Ric Flair. Right? My God. Ric Flair used to say this one. He used to say a lot of things, but he used to say this one thing that I like to use even whenever I'm playing sports with my kids or fighting or wrestling or something like that. Every now and then we'll you know, wrestle or fight or something, and I will tell them, to be the man, you got to beat the man. Playing basketball, get that out of there. To be the man, you got to beat the man. To be the man, you got to beat the man. I don't know if he came up with that, but that is doggone brilliant. That is just awesome. It's like that when the king sits on his throne. To be the man, you got to beat the man. And I've got good news. There's not a devil in hell that can get him off of that throne. I don't care if King Kong Bundy, Big John Studd, and the Moondogs all show up with steel chairs. They ain't getting Jesus' chair. Y'all don't even know what I'm talking about, some of y'all. I said the Moondogs. Old school. That was my favorite tag team ever. Yeah, because they were real. I mean, come on. Obviously. That's when it was real. The king is on his throne. And because he is seated on his throne, by grace we are saved. And then, the audacity of this king to bring all of us reprobates and give us a chair right next to him. Three things, for those of you all that are taking notes, three things being seated with Christ means. Three things. Are you ready? Give me 8 minutes and I'm done. Number one, our position is secure. Because his position is secure, our position is secure. We have been made more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Revelations 1:18 actually says that Jesus went into hell to get the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Colossians 2 says even further that he not only did that, but he made a spectacle of those principalities that are after you and me. He put them in the market square and made fun of them and humiliated them. He triumphed over them all. John 10:28, Jesus says about us, nobody will snatch them from my hand. No one will get them out of my hand. Romans 8:17 says we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. That's good stuff, man. Our position is secure. Somebody say secure. Number two, our power is unlimited. Because our position is secure, right next to Jesus, we have access to what he is and who he is. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in you. It did not say that he could possibly maybe do some things. It said, no, now unto him who is able. He is able. Zechariah 4:6 says, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Matthew 19:26, Jesus says, all things are possible with God for those that believe. And Romans 8:11 says, and if the spirit of him who raised Christ Jesus up from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies, listen to this, your mortal bodies to life through his spirit who lives in you. Our power is unlimited. It's going to bring your mortal body to life. But I'm already alive. No. You're just walking dead. You're walking dead. But God, our position is secure. Our power is unlimited. And because of that, here's number three. I told you 8 minutes, maybe 11. Number three, our presence is necessary. Our position is secure. Our power is unlimited. And because of those two things, our presence in this world is necessary. Hebrews 10:25. Let's jump on this and then we'll pivot. Hebrews 10:25 says, don't forsake the assembling together with the saints. Let me tell you this. Not because I'm the senior pastor, but because I am a believer and a brother and of Christ like you and me. We're all in this together. Your church attendance matters. It matters, man. When nobody even knew I was there. Yeah, somebody did. It matters. Your church attendance matters. Showing up is important. It's important to study Scripture together. It's important to sing together, to have communion together, to experience the presence of God together. It's important to go through baptism together, to serve together, to volunteer together, to give together. It's important and it matters. Why is it so important? It's important because, watch this, the church, big C church, global church, capital C church, is the physical representation of Jesus Christ in the earth, 2017. And until he comes back on a white horse, blowing a trumpet, we're it, baby. We're it. What does that mean? Well, let me say it this way. I am afraid that there are moments, I've been guilty of this. If the shoe fits, let's wear it, but then we'll change shoes later. All right? I have been guilty of this, where I am so concerned with my own spiritual condition with God that I really don't think about you very much at all. And that I don't think about those that are lost or hungry or dying or hurting or discouraged, or I really don't think about them much. I just want to be intimate with the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me say this and we'll jump off. If your intimacy with the Lord does not produce souls into the kingdom, then you are not intimate with the Lord. You are intimate with yourself. And it is not the same thing. I want intimacy with God, but by reading His Word, I understand what that means and the implications that exist there. They do not mean that I'm in some mystical, pseudo-spiritual reality, right? Where we just don't do anything for God. Well, we're praying 24/7. We're reading. We're not even reading the Word most of the time because I would rather hear what the Spirit is saying. And I'm not against any of that. We're Pentecostal. The Spirit of God still speaks today. Hallelujah. But there's a danger where we get isolated and we become like not worried about anything or anybody else. And if we are the physical representation of Jesus in the earth, yes, he went away to pray. Yes, he took a few with him up the mountain to pray, like the transfiguration story. Yes, he went away and went with the Father. Yes, he got away. Yes, 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 yes. But he also got in the muddy dirt with the girl in the temple who was caught in adultery. Right? He got in the dirt. He went out and fed the 5,000. He healed blind eyes. He raised the dead. He was busy about the Father's business. So what it means for us to be seated with Christ when our position is secure, our power is unlimited, and because of that, our presence is necessary. It sets us up to be the hands and feet of Jesus in a world that so desperately needs Him. Because when we reach out, it's not us reaching. Think about it. When we reach out, it's not our hands. There's a great big difference between doing something charitable, which is good. Giving money to charitable organizations, good. Volunteering down at the Humane Society, good, all of the, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Doing something charitable because it makes you feel good or makes a difference in the world, and that's good. There's good. You don't have to be saved to do good charity works. Everybody agree on that? But there is something drastically different between the people who are doing charitable works without Jesus, and those doing charitable works with Jesus. Great big difference. And the difference is Him. The difference is His presence on the earth. The difference is Him reaching through our hands to reach out to those that are lost and hurting and dying. So when we go to our jobs tomorrow and we put our little time card in the machine, do not check out when you clock in. When you clock in, check in. When someone describes to you a terrible situation that needs prayer, step up and say, hey, I'm going to say a prayer for them. You don't have to be goofy and weird about it and you know, drag out bottles of oil and let's turn the music way up and wave flags and dance in ballerina tutus to try to get the Spirit of the Lord to do something. We don't have to do all that. You just have to be there. You have to do it. You got to engage because your presence is necessary. The world demands it, and our faith inside us demands it. Faith without works is dead. The difference is that we know now, thankfully, is our works do not produce faith. Our works do not produce faith. They do not make us more saved. Somebody's lack of works does not make them less saved. But we cannot be saved and not produce through this thing called our body. The bridge, the gateway of our internal faith into the world. Everybody stand up with me. I took 11 minutes. I'm sorry. We cannot have a disconnect with our faith once we come out of these doors. We got to engage. We got to be physically active. What it means when we are spiritually seated in Christ. We are spiritually seated in Christ, yet our physical bodies must be active about producing the kingdom in the earth. I'll say it again, last time. When we are spiritually seated in Christ, our physical bodies must be active about producing the kingdom of God in the earth. Giving, volunteering, serving, praying, inviting people to the communion table. I talk a lot about the family table of God, the family dinner table of God, and what Jesus did by putting us right next to Him. How many of you guys got a rectangular table and your dad or your mom sits at the head of the table when it's time to eat? Y'all know what I'm talking about? What Jesus did was He took that rectangular table, He pushed it aside, folded it up, slid it behind the couch, and He rolled out a round table. He gave up His seat and made us all sit there and look at each other and let's eat together because we're all in this together. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that Your word would not return to You void, that Your word would illuminate, that Your word would guide, that You would help us grow us from faith to faith, from glory to glory. And I pray, God, that You would give us eyes that can see how You see. Give us ears that can hear how You hear. And help us to have the boldness to stand before the people of this world and declare hope, to declare peace, to declare joy, unspeakable and full of glory, to declare freedom to every captive, and to declare healing for every sickness and every disease. God, You're good. You're good. You're good. And we love You. And thank You for saving us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're glad to be saved, let's put our hands together and bless the name of the Lord.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.